And now for our feature presentation.
Tonight we're presenting a different format. We're presenting movies. This was Ray's genius idea that we're each going to come up with five movie pitches. I assume that by the time this is edited down, it'll probably be like one or two each.
No. It's going to be, I feel like these are all going to be genius movie ideas.
I got a lot of fucking garbage ones.
Because I feel like we're going to be like the new Warner Brothers.
There's a lot of garbage.
We're going to become the new Warner Brothers, and it's going to be mad funny because like once we become rich and famous off of movies, I'm going to start wearing those t-shirts that say, if you see the cops,
yeah, Warner Brothers. Yeah.
And it's going to be real funny when, right, you know, people realize that.
So this is the premise of this week's episode. Do you want to start?
Yeah, so I'm just going to
do it.
I'm going to hit you with some pitches.
Can we agree to go like title first?
No, some of them I feel as though they work better if I give you the premise.
Because I want to be sold like title. Like when I hear the title, then I'm intrigued. Like maybe I'm working too hard on the title.
Sometimes you might be. Listen, you pitch how you want to pitch.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pitch how
I want to pitch. My elevator pitch is all title. I said title first, plot second.
It's a plot second. That's it.
Plot second.
All right. So
go ahead, man.
Animated movie for the kids.
Okay.
Hopefully, we pitch this now. Someone at Pixar hears this. They're like, God damn it, that is
the
hot shit.
Yeah.
Let's get in touch with them. They're the new Warner Brothers. And
They're the new Warner Brothers. That's not happening.
And, you know, they'll be like, DreamWorks, watch out. These two motherfuckers are taking over the game.
They got shirts that say Warner Brother.
DreamWorks. There's probably one black dude who works there with Warner New Brother. Done. All right, here it is.
Did you see the cops, Warner Brother?
All yep. Right. Here it is. So, this movie starts out, and it's about this little girl, right?
Are you too close?
No, I'm straight. I'm straight. Oh. It's about this little girl.
You're about to say midget.
It's not a fucking midget. She's a normal human child who's just small because she's a child.
Yeah, all right.
And so she's very cute, and it's her birthday. And so her parents are like, Janie, what do you want for your birthday? And she's like...
That doesn't sound like a black child's name.
She's not a black child. She's a white child.
I can't imagine you imagining a movie that's not a black child, but okay, continue.
She's a white child. And so they're like, Janie, what do you want for your birthday? And she's like, more than anything for my birthday, I want a baby kitten.
What, a baby cat? Whatever.
A kitten.
No, she's a child. I don't want to ruin this story.
Yes.
Continue.
She's like, I want a baby kitten so I can love him and hug him and squeeze him and he'd be my best friend. And they're like, okay. So the parents go down to the ASPCA with the little girl, and they have all these beautiful kittens, and she picks the kitten that she likes the most, and it's an all-white, fluffy, puffy kitten. And so she takes it home, and like...
I'm scared of where this is going.
There's a montage of her and the kitten playing, and they're like best friends and everything.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Beach Boys.
Yeah.
It's awesome. She's playing with the kitten. Then, you know, you see her at school, and she's like telling all of her classmates, she's like, I got a new kitten. It's so awesome. You guys should come over. So one little boy comes over. Is a nice little white boy. He comes over, plays with the kitten, and it's awesome.
I feel like this is racist.
Then her black friend comes over.
Oh, God.
The kitten goes nuts. attacks.
Wait, I already know what movie this is.
The cat attacks the little girl, and she's like, what's wrong with you, Ken? What's wrong? Black girl leaves. Then her little Spanish friend comes over. The kitten goes crazy again, attacks the Spanish girl. This keeps happening.
Does this kitten have a pointed head?
Listen, so they take the cat to a cat psychic, and the cat psychic is like, you know, she's like, oh, I'm communing with the spirits. She finds out that the cat is the reincarnated former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay.
This movie is called KKK Kitten.
I think it should be KKK Kitten.
No, KKK Kitten, and the movie will be about how the little girl rehabilitates the reincarnated Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan to learn to love everyone.
Okay, let's not say Grand Dragon because, as I've learned about Ku Klux Klans, is that they're very disorganized. However...
But isn't the Grand Dragon the leader of them?
No, but see, it's not like the Black Panthers or like the Nazi Party. It's Ku Klux Klan. It's just a bunch of...
I like how you chose the Black Panthers and the Nazis as the sole ideas of like hierarchical...
Well, no, like hate groups.
The Black Panthers weren't a hate group.
They're not a hate group?
No.
Okay. I don't know. What do you... Okay. Alright, race groups. Race
right,
groups.
Okay.
No. My point being that... Sorry. What I was trying to say is that the Ku Klux Klan is not an actual organization. It's a disparate bunch of groups.
Like Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. So, like, when someone's like, oh, the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan in Arkansas, that doesn't mean anything. That just means he and his hibbly folk got together and he's like, I'm the Grand Wizard, motherfucker.
Fair enough.
So, what I'm saying is, I'm not trying to... Look,
don't shit on KKK.
I want to hear more about this movie because it sounds incredible.
That's pretty much it. Like,
what I'm saying is, okay. It should be the reincarnated soul of is it Nathan Bedford Forrest? Nathaniel Bedford Forrest? He's one that founded the KKK.
I am so disturbed that you know the name of the founder of the KKK off the top of your head.
My dad is a huge Civil War buff. We have paintings of Civil War all over my house.
I'm so glad you filled in Civil War buff there.
No, he's huge. Like his.
I just thought you were gonna say KKK buff. No, like, that's
his,
awesome. That
his dental practice is just full of paintings from the Civil War. My dad is not at all racist. Votes Democratic 90% of the time, but just loves the Civil War. You know, he makes guns, he builds cars. He's just super into Civil War. That's like one of the things he's into. So I happen to know from my dad because he talks a lot about the Civil War, that Nathaniel Bedford Forrest, who was a general or a captain in the Civil War, was the guy that founded the Ku Klux Klan.
Interesting.
Sorry.
I
know that.
No, I mean, we can put this in.
No, I'm just sorry
I can put that. This into KKK.
I feel like all these podcasts should have a PDF that goes with them.
And the cat can be named Nathan or something.
I think it's Nathaniel Bedford Forrest.
Yeah. Or Forrest.
All right, pitch number one. This is going.
I like the informational fucking asides that go with each one. Yeah, no, it's
like,
great.
Now it's like, okay, conversations with Brian. Brian's a racist. Not the truth. All right, have I told you about Rookie Time Cop?
No, hit all me.
Right. I feel like this is the one.
Okay.
Is it okay?
Yeah, go for it.
You're looking.
I'm ready. I'm focused.
I feel like Rookie Time Cop won. I got you on the title, right?
Right. I'm interested. What's it about?
You're in. Yeah. All right. Here's the deal.
Okay.
It's 2060.
Mm-hmm.
There are time cops. Time cops can go back in time to prevent crimes, right?
Right.
But if you're a rookie time cop, you're only given... Sorry. This is too funny. I think it's so fucking good. Okay, wait. Sorry. 2060. Time cops.
Okay.
Time cops go back in time to prevent crimes. Rookie time cop, he only gets 15 seconds, right? So you're like, okay, because they only give them, they allot time.
Right, to how good you are, how much time you get. Right.
15 seconds is only enough time to, like, maybe fix the fuck up that you just did, but not really. Like, if I'm on a date and I accidentally spill wine, I'm like, rookie time cop, and I go back in time, but it doesn't really work. So Rookie Time Cop, it kind of writes itself, right? Because it's like a madcap adventure. Like, Rookie Time Cop, he's out, you know, and he goes to the bathroom, he comes back, and then he falls over and he stabs State in the heart, right?
Why was he holding a knife?
Because he was eating State. And he stabs him in the heart, right? But then he's like, oh, shit, and he starts thinking, he's like, I'm Rookie Time Cop. And then he hits the Rookie Time Cop button, he goes back, it's 10 seconds. But he's only back 10 seconds, right? And then he sees himself, and he's like, no, Rookie Time Cop. And he's like, hit it again. And then he goes back, and then there are three of them. He's like, Rookie Time Cop. And then he's like, don't do it. And so now there are these, like, three Rookie Time Cops trying not to stab this girl, right? It's a madcap adventure.
Who do you see in the role of Rookie Time Cop?
Definitely Deuce Bigelow. Wait, who the fuck is that guy?
Rob Schneider.
Yeah, it's all Rob Schneider. So this is Rob Schneider. It's basically Judge Dredd, but with 15-second time travel.
I'm intrigued. Like, I'd watch that on cable.
I would watch... Are you kidding? I'd see this shit in IMAX. This is fucking amazing. So there's Rookie Time Cop. He goes back 15 seconds. He's like, whoa, I'm Rookie Time Cop. I don't know why he keeps calling himself Rookie Time Cop.
Yeah. Whatever. Fuck it. We can write it in. We can clean it up in post.
So, yeah, all the time he's like, whoa, Rookie Time Cop.
You know what? I'm gonna do a little stunt casting here. Instead of Rob Schneider, could this be the vehicle that brings back Pauly Shore?
Oh,
the Wheeze, buddy.
The Wheeze. Okay, the Wheeze.
Yeah, buddy.
Back from Biodome, the Wheeze, Pauly Shore is Rookie Time Cop.
Yep.
2060, Rookie Time Cop. Crime is at an all-time high. It's Chicago, York. Right, because you know the cities have merged.
I just like the subtitle of Crime is at an All-Time High. Crime and he's got a joint Lenahan.
Crime is at an all-time high. And then high is italicized.
Yeah.
And he's got a spliff.
A spliff in one hand and the Rookie Time Cop device
in
the other hand.
So it's Pauly Shore. That's incredible. Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, obviously. He's not doing shit.
Recasted as his role from Encino Man.
Yeah, somehow we've got... You know what it is? Is that it's a buddy cop movie, and Rookie Time Cop is the wacky cop who doesn't play by the rules, Rob Schneider. And then Brendan Fraser is the straight man who is actually a caveman.
He's a caveman.
Who they brought.
Straight caveman.
Yeah, who they brought back to the future because they find out that he was such a good cop.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Well, it turns out that he was a prehistoric cop.
He was a prehistoric cop. They bring him to the future.
He doesn't speak English. He speaks grunt.
Yeah, but he's totally the straight man.
But he was a cop.
Yeah, he was a cop back then.
So when Rookie Time Cop, like, slips on a banana peel, he's like, womp, womp, womp.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like, ugh.
Yeah, shit's wild. So there's Rookie Time Cop. There's Brendan Fraser. The commissioner, who's definitely, like, an overweight Woody Harrelson. Or maybe, I mean, if I went big, you know, I would say like Wilford Brimley, but he's not going to sign on for.
If we went big, I would want Meryl Streep.
Okay. Yes. As
the commissioner. As a
female commissioner.
Yeah, and she's like, God damn it, Rookie Time Cop. I don't have time for your shit. Like,
I don't have time for your shit. And
right,
that's on the preview.
Yeah.
And he's like, guess what? Woo! Clicks the button. Rookie Time Cop. He's back 15 seconds. I don't know why. Just think of all the madcap adventures he could have.
I like it. It feels like it would be kind of like
it's like
not Memento.
Retarded.
Not Memento. Run Lola Run, where they kept showing the same thing. You know, you see the same scene.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh well, you missed out. That was 1998. All right. You say Rookie Time Cop. I'm going to stay on the same topic of time travel. All
right.
It's 1968.
Got it.
The country's in turmoil because of, you know,
racial
civil rights strife.
Civil rights, yeah, got it.
So there's a small, there's a cell of the Black Panthers.
Okay.
Right? And we'll start the movie off, and it'll be Huey Newton, leader of the Black Panthers.
Was that an actual leader of the...
Yes, that is the actual...
Same as Huey.
Huey P. Newton. Bobby Seale was the co...
It's gotta be the whitest name ever for a Black Panther.
Anyway, so we're gonna... A movie will start off. This is the trailer. It'll start off. And it's in the office of Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale. And so Black Panther secretary walks in, and she's going to be really hot.
Is she hot?
She's hot as shit.
Banging ass.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Dumb. And she's wearing like a secretary outfit.
No, but like her dress doesn't even fit over her
ass. No. Yeah. And she's got like a beret on, plus because they wore berets.
Yeah, like.
But it's really hot.
Yeah, like,
and so she comes in, and she's got glasses and a clipboard, and she's like, Mr. Newton, we have intel that suggests that the man has set up...
Okay. Sorry.
We have intel that suggests the man has set up a secret facility in the ghetto to produce...
She's holding an assault rifle?
She's holding the clipboard.
Okay.
She's like...
What's the way you're showing me? You're holding an assault rifle?
Whatever. So she finds out that the man has set up a secret facility in the ghetto to produce what we will later know is crack. To destroy the Black community.
Okay, so the white... So the man...
Yes.
We can assume that's the white...
There is no other.
So the man has set up shop in Inglewood?
Sure, Compton, wherever.
No. I assume this is a suburb.
No, it's in the hood.
No, it's a suburb of the hood. It's
whatever.
Sub-hood.
Sub-hood.
So the man is...
In like a giant warehouse that everyone thinks is abandoned.
All right, so I'm picturing New Jack City. Bitches with titties out.
Right.
Sword
and so she hands the paper to Huey P. Newton.
Is Wesley Snipes in this?
We can get to casting in a minute. Let me just get the fucking idea out, because the idea is going to fuck up your whole face. Mm-hmm. Promised It's gonna happen. So she hands the paper to Huey P. Newton. He looks at that fucking paper and he's like, this is too much. He's like, call in the Panther's Claw. Dun, dun, dun. Panther's Claw is the fucking super secret Delta squad of the Black Panthers who handle fucking crazy fucking missions that no one else can.
So this is Black Panther's Delta 6.
Right. I just made this up. That wasn't real. Because you looked like for a second you were like, maybe that was real. No, it wasn't real.
No, yeah. Wait, does this exist? I was looking at my shoulder.
So it's basically, you know, Delta 6 of the Black Panthers.
Okay.
So you see Huey P. Newton giving speech to them like, listen, you gotta go in there and break this shit up. Cut to, they're in the fucking factory and they find all the fucking crack shit and they're trying to break it up. They're gonna set it up. Blow up the factory. Uh-oh, what's this? Cops have surrounded the building. SWAT team, it was a setup.
Oh, shit.
They fed them bad information.
Oh, shit.
Now they're going to get the Panther's Claw. But wait a minute, what is the Panther's Claw also found in this secret facility?
Oh, no.
A motherfucking time machine.
Oh, my God, there's a time machine. Okay. So there's a time machine.
There's a time machine.
Did the Panthers build the time machine?
No. It's in the facility.
There?
This is the man's secret facility.
Who made this time machine?
The fucking man.
Oh, okay, the man.
The man has made this time machine along with crack in his secret facility.
Which is more valuable, crack or the time machine?
Who knows? Whichever one they can get up working first, you know?
Okay.
And so the cops have surrounded them. There's no way out. The building's on fire. What do? They find this time machine. They don't even know how to use it. But the nerdy fucking dude on the team, he's like, well, I can figure it out. I'll put it in. Yeah. And he turns it on. The building's crumbling. It's on fire. They jump through the fucking portal. Where will they land? Who knows? Dissolve the black. They're in the fucking middle of like a forest. And they're like, wow, good thing we got out of that one. You know, I wonder where we are. The question they should be asking is when they are. And just as they land in this fucking field, fucking all of a sudden they see a fucking runaway slave chick run by, chased by fucking dudes on horseback, because they're in slavery times now.
Slavery times. Okay.
Then so the Black Panthers just kill white people, and that's my entire movie. I call it Black in Time. Also, maybe Black to the Future. That would be the second one.
That's good, that's good.
Yeah.
Wait, so just black people. I like that. You're like, we just go back in time and kill white people.
That's it.
Wait, I feel like these podcasts are getting more and more tense. Okay.
You don't think that would be a great movie?
No, I think it'd be an amazing movie. I'm just worried that you don't like me. Alright, I think I got a pretty good one. I don't know. It's not that thought out. Look, I gotta admit that the first one was way more thought out than this one.
Okay. Hit me.
I know that I gave some really bad ones.
No, hit me.
So there's an amateur hockey team.
Okay.
They're flying to play a team in Canada.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're like, let's say, you know, it's a bunch of scrappy kids.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the Bad News Bears. They're like,
are they kids? Or are they like 19?
Yeah, no. These are scrappy kids. They're like 13, 14.
Okay, all right.
This is your scrappy.
Mighty Ducks 1. Before they get good.
I would say that it's like, they're just a bunch of like scrappy kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Like these are kids from the inner city. You know?
Yeah. From the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we play hockey.
Yeah. Like these kids got nothing going for them.
No.
You know? They got nothing to live
yeah.
for. But you know, like there's a coach and he's like, look, we're going to play this team in Canada.
We'll show them what we got.
Yeah, we're going to show them what we got, Mike, no matter what.
Even if we lose.
Even if we lose.
We still won.
We still won.
Right. We won the game of heart.
Like, we're going to go to where hockey is king.
Right.
King.
We're going to show them how we do it in the good old U.S.
Yeah.
A motherfucking day.
Yeah. We're going to go in there and fucking show them American style.
Right.
Yeah. We're gonna do it.
Give us your weak,
your cold.
Cold, poor,
your
ugly, retarded, whatever. Yeah.
Research.
And we're going to take that team of all those and bring them to where Canada's king.
Bad news bears, yeah.
And we'll show them what's up.
And so the king of Canada, I assume Canada has a king. You know, he's organized some, like, weird-ass shit. You know, it's like, you know, it's basically like, it's like the Warriors.
Okay.
He's organized, like, you know, all the...
All the countries are going to come to Canada.
Well, I was thinking all the gangs in Canada.
Okay.
To watch this
game. Oh, he's going to invite all the gangs in Canada, all 11 of them.
To watch
the Canadian hockey team beat up on the American hockey
yeah.
team so that he can get all of his gang members filled with Canadian pride and then later send them to America to fuck shit up so Canada could become the best country in the North America. Continue. I see where you're going.
Do you want co-writing credits? Because you got it.
Continue.
So this, you know, this bus full of scrappy Americans.
Right.
They're riding up there, and they get there, and the night before, you know, they're like stuck in the Canadian wilderness.
Right.
Don't ask why.
No, the whole thing is wilderness.
They're in the Canadian wilderness. But the thing is, everybody knows, like, this team's going to beat the shit out of the Canadians. Like, they just know, like, you could tell by the scrappiness of these guys, right. Like, they're going to fucking embarrass the Canadians. Canadians send out vampires.
As they do.
The Canadians. It's always dark up there.
Yeah.
It's like Scandinavia. So the Canadians send out vampires. And, you know, the only thing that kills vampires are,
Stakes
to the heart.
Sunlight.
Yeah. So it's the night before the big game, and all these dudes are stuck in this lodge, you know? And so they gotta fight their way out, right? So all they got are pucks.
And hockey sticks. Yeah, I like this.
And the shit gets brutal as fuck.
Yeah.
It's mayhem, right?
So, but they use their hockey skills to defeat the vampires.
Use their hockey skills. So you can imagine, like, the shots, right? It's like someone drops a stick, boom! You know, stake goes through the heart.
Yeah.
Boom. You know, rubber thing, puck goes through the heart, but it's sharp.
I imagine a scene where the vampires have busted into the house because the vampires can't come into your house without permission. But somehow someone fucks up.
Yeah.
The vampires get in the house, and then there's a scene where, like, the big bruiser kid, like, fucking checks the vampire.
You know what the punchline of that is? He goes, cross check.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. He checks him and then grabs a cross off the wall and stabs him in the chest. Yeah, cross check. Goes,
cross check.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like.
Yeah, and then also when the vampires come through, like, there's the first part, the first vampire sticks his head through the window and he's coming through, and then one of the kids, like, hits him in the head with the hockey stick and his head flies off and he's like, you're offsides, buddy.
And then one of them throws a fucking... He grabs an icing and he stabs it through his heart and he goes, icing.
Yeah.
It's badass.
I like this,
You know what the movie's called?
Hit me.
From Pucks Till Dawn.
Damn. That's it, my friend. That's a good one.
That's not a bad one.
No.
It worked out a lot better than I thought it would work out. From Pucks Till Dawn.
The title, I will admit, I did not think of myself.
All right.
I got it from a lady friend of mine, but the movie is my own conception.
All right.
It's a movie.
You can tell me the title first?
No. I do title.
I let you hold this.
I do the title at the end.
I'm listening.
We start 1976.
I like that.
Archival footage.
I'm already picturing hot shit. Banana titties.
Right?
Yeah, I like
the rise of weightlifting.
All right. Now, look, we already know where this stemmed from. Our love of Arnold Schwarzenegger and his smoking weed and talking about banging chicks.
The rise of weightlifting as a competitive sport. We show some archival footage of Arnold Schwarzenegger. When he's coming lifting weights. We show competitive footage of Lou Ferrigno, TV's The Incredible Hulk, also, you know, very world champion weightlifter. And then there's a third dude that this is who our movie centers on. And this dude was always third after Arnold Schwarzenegger, after fucking Lou Ferrigno. Dudes in the world of bodybuilding know him, but no one in the regular world ever. He never crossed that plateau. That was 1976, 2012. He lives in, like, the fucking shittiest small house.
Yeah.
He's fucking ramshackle. His hair's grown too long. He's not even... You know, he's still a big dude.
No, I'm already sad.
Think Mickey Rourke and The Wrestler. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, he's still a big dude.
Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, that's not the... I'm in this movie. Let me get my pitch. Think Mickey Rourke and The Wrestler. Big dude. You still wouldn't want to fuck with him if you saw him on the street.
Yeah.
He's fallen on fucking very hard times.
Yeah.
All he does now is smoke mad fucking weed, sit around his fucking house, and just fucking hang out.
Yeah.
And, you know, lament his days of fucking former glory.
And fart.
Sometimes he makes a little money. He goes down to, like, these, like, fucking, male strip clubs where fucking dudes go to fucking, you know, put money in male strippers' fucking things, and he just gives a little, he'll give a little flex show in the fucking alley behind the fucking male strip club, and gay dudes jerk off to that shit.
That's weird. So he's behind the strip club just flexing?
Yeah.
That's, you don't make money that way, yeah. Trust me. Look, I tried. You don't make money that way.
So,
no profit in that.
So here's the thing, is that his friend, his best friend is his weed dealer. And his best friend tells him, he's like, listen, he's like, I've got a possible business opportunity for you. Okay. He's like, I've got to connect who can get us the best weed in California. And we'll fly us in, we'll have the best weed, no one else will have it. And we set this up, and we're going to be set for life because no one else will have this connection to this weed. We'll make a shit ton of money. He's like, the only thing is that we're gonna need $10,000 to get this fucking...
Is this current day?
This is current day. We're gonna need $10,000 to get the first shipment in and start this whole business up. So our hero is like, listen, I don't have $10,000. But he did see at the local gym a flyer for the California statewide weightlifting championship. And so he begins
the music.
$10,000 prize.
Yeah.
He begins to train.
Yeah.
We find out that the judge of the California statewide weightlifting competition is one Arnold Schwarzenegger, his former nemesis, his former rival, the one person he could never be, will now be judging him. Cue a montage of him lifting so many weights, smoking so much weed at the same time. We call this movie Let's Get Ripped.
Well done. Let's get... I got one.
Okay.
It takes place in New Orleans.
New Orleans?
Yeah. It's New Orleans. It's like... This one's black as shit. So it's, you know, it's really evil. And there's a voodoo priest, and he let's picture him as is it Tony Todd? It's Tony Todd. He's Candyman.
Candyman, yeah, I got that. I got you.
You know, he's like tall and
really
scary.
Tall, deep voice, bald, deep black boy, dude. Yeah.
So he runs a shop in the French Quarter. He goes and talks to Tony Todd, who's a voodoo priest.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, you know, I think my wife's cheating on me, and I want to find out if that's happening. So,
wife's cheating on him.
Yeah.
So he comes in.
It's all black cast, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the only way it works if we're going to have a good New Orleans movie. So, you know, and you got to picture every shot is... There's just mist.
Yeah, mist. Fog.
It's just swamp. Yeah, it's just, it's New Orleans as fuck. It's just
fucking
swamp.
Damp as shit.
Yeah, it's damp. Yeah, everybody's like, oh no,
oh.
I mean, look, my mom's family's from Alabama, but down there it's fucking sweaty and disgusting all the time. Much the same in the Louisiana. So, this guy's like, look, I think my wife's cheating on me. And the voodoo priest said, I can find out if she is, but you're gonna have to bring me some of her shit.
He's like her stuff, and he's like,
no. He's like, look, I only work in one medium, and that's shit. So dude's like, all right, that's weird. So,
but you don't question voodoo.
No, you don't.
No, okay.
So you know, he goes home and puts some Saran wrap in there, and it's like.
He puts Saran wrap.
Wait, what? Okay, how else are you going to get your wife's poop?
That's a great question. I don't know how you...
Okay, here's how you do it. You put it, but it's in the... All right, you know what? He puts it in the trap.
Yeah.
The trap is, I don't know if you know plumbing.
Yeah, that little scoop thing, yep. Yeah. Okay.
So he puts a net in there.
Yeah, to all catch right. The poop.
Yeah. So he thinks his wife's cheating on him. You know, she's been staying out late. So he catches that poop. And then, you know... He brings it to the voodoo priest, and he's like, you know, he does some weird shit. He, like, brings out some chickens.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of blood.
Yeah.
You know voodoo.
Voodoo shit. Right.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. I need to make sure I'm not missing any of this. Okay. So he brings out, like, all this, you know, shit. And literal shit.
Yeah.
That was a weird sound.
It's very spooky. Yeah. No, it's super spooky in here, right?
Yeah,
it's super spooky.
I think it's because I'm talking about this.
Yeah, because this is real shit right
now.
Yeah,
I'm getting really scared.
Real voodoo.
Yeah.
Real shit.
Yeah, I'm getting really
inspired voodoo. Please just keep going. We got to get it out of the room. Just keep going.
Black man, he's talking to black.
We do the ceremony.
Yeah, voodoo dude. He's like, yes, your wife is cheating on me. And he's like, well, that's just fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, what am I going to do about this? And then he captures her, his wife, and he, like, chokes her out. And they bring her to the pyre, the funeral pyre.
Right.
And he takes a big dump.
So he takes a shit on his wife's corpse.
No, she's still alive.
Oh, no, so they just captured her physically, and he takes a giant shit on his wife.
Hold on. So he captures her. Sorry, hold on. And he brings her to the
food ceremony.
Yeah, because, you know, they're like skulls and flames everywhere. And then, and then, you know, they're like singing like Funga, Lafia, Ashe, Ashe, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And then, as the voodoo priest stabs her in the chest, he goes, this is a voodoo doo-doo sacrifice.
That's quite the...
And the movie's called Doo-Doo Sacrifice.
No, we can see that, yeah.
Doo-Doo Sacrifice. Is that good?
Yeah, no, I like it. It's very spooky. You know, it deals with the occult, which is very big right now, you know.
Doo-Doo Sacrifice.
And doo-doo, yeah. And it deals with shit humor.
Doo-Doo Sacrifice.
Which, the more times you say it, the more it makes it funny.
Dude. And then at the end he says, this is a voodoo doo-doo sacrifice.
Yeah.
Doo-Doo Sacrifice.
For my last movie, this is a project I have been gestating for literally 15 years.
Wow. I'm really excited. Also, you have to publish this. This has to go online.
Yes.
Especially Rookie Time Cop, because...
You don't want anyone else stealing
it. No, someone's going to steal Rookie Time
right,
Cop, and
yeah.
It needs to be documented.
Right. I also fear that someone will steal this idea.
Oh, God.
But it's too powerful, and it's too timely for it not to be put out into the world.
Okay. Hit me.
Let me paint the scene for you. Present day.
America.
Anytown, USA.
Anytown, USA. Springfield, USA.
Springfield, USA. It's a parade. We see little kids holding little, waving little American flags. We see grandpas, you know, with their fucking war medals on, with a little hat.
Prime for disaster.
It's beautiful. Apple pies are baking on windowsills.
Oh, God.
We see a cavalcade coming through the...
A cavalcade?
Wait, is that...
No, that's the correct word.
Like with cars...
I rarely heard someone say cavalcade.
The cavalcade comes, and it's the President of the United States.
Through Anytown, USA.
Through Anytown, USA. It's some sort of parade to congratulate someone for some bullshit. It doesn't matter. The President, however, is a woman. An older woman.
That's nonsense.
She's an older woman, but still very attractive.
Ooh.
Like, how old do you have to be the president? You have to be, like, 45? Or no, is it 35?
Who's that hot ass bitch? Helen Mirren. So I'm picturing Helen Mirren.
She's very old. She's very old, though.
She's white. I don't know who black men picture when they picture old, hot women.
I don't have one. Angela Bassett.
Ooh, yeah, she's good looking.
It is. Anyway, so she's, like, 45. I think that's the youngest you can be to be president, is 45.
That is funny. That I think you have to be 40 or...
Something
like 40, yeah.
She's like the youngest president ever, just past, you know, like 45.
But
still smoking hot.
But are her titties popping?
Yes. But business casual, because she's the president. Please respect her.
She's got a slutty suit and her tits are in the middle.
Please respect her as the president.
Sorry.
Madam President.
Yeah, sorry.
So, back to the movie. We see the president, she's waving to the people, we see the people waving to her, it's all in slow motion, it's all beautiful. This is fucking America, this is the dream.
It's America.
Then we see the crosshairs of an assassin's gun target on the president. We hear a loud shot ring out. Everything is fucking in turmoil and panic. The president has been shot. You see that fucking car drive off. Cut to the fucking hospital. We see the surgeon come out of the operating room, and the vice president is there, and he says, "Vice president,
is that a dude?"
Yes. And he says, "Vice president, we've done everything that we can. We've tried to stabilize her. I don't know if she's gonna make it through the night. I've tried every procedure that I know."
And I've done everything.
I've done everything.
Yeah, I'm just doing all the procedures I
have. I took out all of her wisdom teeth.
Yeah, exactly. I juggled her organs. I shifted everything around.
And the vice president says, she can't die. The country needs her. The country needs her more than ever. We have this summit coming up with the Chinese. And if she's not there to broker this, the Chinese will invade us if they sense weakness.
That's the worst.
At that exact moment, an extremely handsome young doctor comes in.
Yeah, I like that.
And he says, "I have a procedure that may be able to save the president, but we need to execute it right now."
What's his name?
I don't know. Everyone looks at... Everyone turns to the vice president and they say, "It's your call. You're the one who will you have to make this decision."
This is insane.
And so the vice president is like, "Doctor, do whatever you have to do. We must save the president." So the young doctor busts into the operating room. They put the fucking mask on him. They put the gloves and everything. And he's like, "I need 50 cc's of this. You prepare a hydrogen,
a thing,
oxygen bath of liquids. You over here, give me cc's of power things, saline.
Yeah.
And I need a scalpel."
Yeah.
And so he walks over this to the president. And he said, "Everyone back away. Back away. Back away." And so they've cleared a halo around the president in the operating room. And he takes a deep breath. He pulls back the gown, the surgery operating gown. He whips out his dick. It is very large and heavy. And he begins smacking the president in the face with his penis.
What?
Everyone is like, what is going on? Secret Service rush in and grab him. As they are grabbing him, pushing him away from the president, he's like, no, I'm not finished. I'm not finished. At that moment, he starts shooting jizz out of his dick. And it lands on the president's face. It lands in her fucking wounds. And they pull him off and they're like, "This man's crazy. Get the fuck out of here." And they're pushing him out of the operating room. At that second, the president sits up. And she's like, "What's going on in here? What's happened?" No one knows how it's happened, but she's cured.
Right.
We cut to later that night.
Okay.
The president's in the Oval Office. No, the wherever the president sleeps, Oval Bedroom. I just made that up. Lincoln Bedroom. She's in the bedroom in her presidential pajamas that have little eagles and shit on them.
Yeah, it goes all over.
All over. And so she can't sleep. She's tossing. She's turning. She gets out of bed, and she goes to a giant circular window that's in her bedroom, and she leans her arm against the glass and she looks out to the beautiful lawn in the White House. She feels a hunger deep inside of her, a yearning. She punches through the window, jumps out from like the second floor of the White House, lands on the fucking lawn, totally unhurt, sprints across the lawn, jumps over the fence. Now she's on the streets of Washington, president in her fucking presidential pajamas. She sees a fucking handsome young man walking down the street. She grabs him, rips off his clothes, just starts fucking vigorously sucking his dick.
I knew it!
To get the jizz. And then she gets the jizz because now the president of the United States, the most powerful woman, the most powerful person in the world, has become a jizz vampire. That is the opening to my pornographic masterpiece.
Jizz vampire.
Fuck the movie.
Wait, you mean fuck
colon the movie? It will be the most impressive pornographic movie ever. It will be released in normal movie theaters. It'll be 2.5 hours long. It will cost $300 million, and it will be the most impressive pornographic thing ever.
That sounds unbelievable, man.
There's gonna be big titted lesbian mermaids. There's
Wait.
Alright.
I hate lesbians.
There's gonna be robots from the future who wanna come back and stop us from having sex called abstinators.
You've thought a lot about
there's
this.
There's gonna be a scene where people fuck in space. And it's
Does
gonna
jizz come out. And
jizz comes out, yeah.
Floating balls.
Floating balls, but it's gonna be like the Matrix, where the floating ball of jizz comes at a chick, and then she dodges it like. Because
so,
it's jizz
so
vampire
so
jizz.
So it's jizz time.
Jizz time. Yeah.
Jizz time.
Yeah.
So she dodges it, and then
yeah.
as the jizz goes.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Fuck the movie.
Fuck, the movie.
Colon the movie.
I don't know if there's ever been a movie called Fuck. Wow. That's amazing. Well, I don't know how the fuck I'm going to follow that up. I wish you'd told me that you had something that good lined up.
I told you. I said it was going to take a minute.
I mean, this isn't that good. I mean, I'm just going to have to riff it off the top of my head.
Go for it, man. Play jazz.
Good for it. Just play jazz. All right. So we've got a skinny kid, you know, like, 90-pound weakling, you know, he's not your hero.
Right.
He's like, you know, he's less than the everyman. He's like your, he's the guy you want to root for, but he's not.
He's not enough, yeah.
Yeah, he's not enough, yeah. And so, you know, he's finally got a girl, you know, he's finally having sex with her. But it's clear that she's way too hot for him.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's some, like,
Maybe he paid for it. He paid to play.
Well, no, maybe there's something malicious going on, right?
Maybe she's taking advantage of him.
Yeah, yeah. Like, maybe she's just doing it to pick on him.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But she just looks way too good.
Because I remember all the times that incredibly hot women had sex with me to pick on me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, ah, you
Look,
motherfucker.
Just like real life.
This is based on true story.
This is based on real life. This is a real story. So, you know, he's... So, picture Skolnick from, Revenge of the Nerds, and then whatever that blonde bitch was from Revenge of the Nerds. Right?
I don't remember. Anyway, go ahead.
So he's having sex with her, and he keeps pulling his dick out. He keeps putting it in there, and every time he does that, a little bit of air goes in there, right? You
know? So right.
Just getting it in there. And then she's like, yo, fuck me in the ass. Because girls say that all the time. Any ladies listening know that no girl ever says that. Dudes are just like, can I put it in your butt? So, he does, and then as he does, all the air comes out of her vagina and goes...
Okay.
I think that's commonly called a queef.
Yes.
And when he does, when she does, his brain goes crazy. It's like, it's something about the frequency of the queef.
Okay.
He just loses it, right? He just becomes a zombie. And she realizes he stops fucking. And she's like, no, do this. And so... She realizes she has a zombie on her hands.
Right.
Right? So anytime she queefs...
She can make a zombie?
She can make a zombie.
Wow.
So she's got the zombie. And, you know, he's doing shit for her like robbing banks.
Because the first thing that happens is, oh, I've created a zombie. I get him to rob a bank for me.
What would you do?
I'd clean my house. I'd start off small and then work my way up.
Well, look, man, I'm trying... This is a fucking...
We're telling a movie.
It's an elevator pitch.
Yeah, go. Okay.
It's an elevator pitch, man.
He's robbing the bank, right?
So, you know, he's robbing a bank, and then she's like, yo, if I pour out my pussy, I can really get, like, a whole army of these guys.
Right, and then we can really fuck shit up.
We can really fuck shit up. So she just starts whoring all around town, you know, just starts, like, slapping dick, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is, and what's cool about this movie is you get a little bit of porno in there, right? It's like,
yeah.
It's got the whole thing with dude shoving dick in the puss, and then going straight in the butt, and then...
Right, and then he's zombie.
As soon as that queef happens, he's a zombie. So she's building up her queef army.
Zombie army. Queef zombie army. QZA.
her queef zombie army. Yeah. And we can assume, I haven't really thought it out that much. You may have understood this from my pitch. But you can assume that, like, at some point they enter some kind of intercollegiate competition. But these dudes win it all. I just want to tell you that the name of the movie is Pussy Control.
What about that? I like that. I just want to say right off the bat, I like that a lot.
Pussy Control.
Pussy that's Control. Good. Pussy yeah, control. No, that's great.
You were supposed to find that funnier than
I. No. I'm finding this so intriguing that I can't even laugh because allow me to make this one addendum. She creates her QZA, Queef Zombie Army.
Queef Zombie Army.
She
Pussy Control.
Trains them how to play collegiate level football.
That's good. Wait, but that would assume that she's like knowledgeable.
Whatever, we figure that out.
We'll work out the details later.
Somehow they are allowed to enter the NCAA tournament.
Now, is this under their team's name?
Maybe she goes to college and she just starts, she creates the Queef Zombie Army out of dudes in college, then somehow gets, then she fucks the coach.
Like that chick did it
at Arkansas. Arkansas, yeah. And then now that she controls the coach, she has him put in all of her Queef Zombie Army players.
She has pussy control.
Yeah, she has.
That's what I mean.
That's what she controls all of them. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Pussy control. Yeah, but I'm saying because she fucks the coach, it doesn't seem weird that now he's got all this.
Right.
Because
she has pussy control.
Yeah. So now all of her Queef Zombie Army are the football players for college team.
I like that.
And then they go fucking 16-0 or whatever amount of games you play in college.
About 11.
They go 11-0. They're ranked number one in the BCS. And they're going to play at what's the big bowl? I don't even know. It changes.
BCS changes. But whatever. Let's call it the Rose.
The Rose Bowl. They're going to play the Rose Bowl against Notre Dame, who have also gone 11-0, not Queef Zombies. So the night before the... So, not even the night. It's like a couple of weeks before the end of the season.
Yeah.
And the Rose Bowl. So, she's like, in order to seal my victory, what I'm going to do is I'm going to find the quarterback of Notre Dame.
Queef Zombium.
And then he'll throw the game. I'll bet a whole bunch of money on it.
She can Queef Zombium, yeah.
And she's been betting money on every game.
Yeah.
So, now she's
got... Back to the future part.
Right. And now she's going to bet all of it on the fucking game.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. She meets the Queef Zombie. She meets the quarterback for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
She starts fake seducing him. They go on dates and everything.
Yeah.
She actually starts to like him.
Oh, no.
Then she goes to fuck him to get the fucking... Queef Zombie him.
Control.
And then she's like, they're fucking. It's the most beautiful love-making session you've ever seen put to film.
Yeah,
it is tender.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful.
Yeah,
and she's like... put it in my butt. Yeah. And he's like,
that's how the queef happened.
Right. And then he's like, I don't want to.
Because he's Catholic.
He
won't do it.
And he just loves her too much to put it in her butt because he just doesn't want to put it in her butt. And then that's when she realizes that's what she's been looking for. And then that turns the whole idea of pussy control on its head. Now we gave something so that...
And scene.
We've got something for the fellas.
Something.
We got football. We got a shit ton of porno. And we got something for the ladies.
Yeah.
It's a real mess.
After all those butt sex, we got something for the ladies.
Yeah.
I think you and I should fucking be paid a lot of money.
We got... This is gold. Warner Brother.
Warner Brother,
right here.
Bootleg shirts. Yeah, Warner Brother.